Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Hi, Stephen.
Good to be back with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back.
Two weeks in a row.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you're back in the groove now. Forget about Youngstown. You got to hang around up here more.
I know.
Anyway, but he's very committed to evangelizing Youngstown.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't offend.
It's the promised land.
Exactly. Don't you forget it.
Yeah, anyway, it's great to be here again on Sunday night, reading the Word and studying it, and it's always good. Doesn't matter what day it is. And it's hard to believe how fast the time goes and that a week's already gone by and this hour will go really fast again like it usually does.
Yes, it will.
And if you were with us last week, and we're going to kind of continue where we left off, we're in Galatians chapter 1. And in summary, Paul writes a letter to this church, the churches in Galatia, because they had heard the gospel, they had believed. They had believed the gospel of grace, which is through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And then some other people have come in and have started telling them other things that you have to do in addition to that.
Right.
And Paul was so upset about this that he says, these people are going to be responsible for this. This is not what I taught you. I have authority as an apostle. This gospel was revealed to me by Jesus himself, which it was. Because if you recall, we talked about how all apostles are called.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was called in a more dramatic way than the other apostles. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was nice to, you know, have Jesus come up to you on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and said, follow me. And you said, okay, I'll come. And that was kind of nice. And
yeah,
spend 3 years with him just kind of hanging out. That was kind of cool.
Kind of a peaceful invitation.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Paul had a much more dramatic invitation, like, you know, I'm on my way to arrest Christians, and all of a sudden, I became one.
Can't see where I'm going. Yeah,
I got knocked down, got blinded, you know, prayed for 3 days, and some guy showed up and said, Brother Saul, and prayed over me, my eyesight came back, and all of a sudden, I'm preaching the gospel of grace, and I'm preaching to, of all people, the Gentiles. Yikes.
Yikes, the unclean.
Before that, I didn't even want to look at a Gentile, let alone tell him anything or talk to him. But now I'm actually kind of hanging around with Gentiles. And they're not so bad. I mean, you know, once you get used to the restaurants.
If you look at it, that's a very interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As that Paul, a Pharisee,
yeah,
would cross to the other side of the street.
Amazing.
Of the road, I should say.
Yeah.
To avoid contact with the Gentile.
Yeah. I mean, it shows you what happens when you're radically converted and your heart is transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his was a little different than most people go through. But, you know, he calls himself a Hebrew of Hebrew, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Nobody's more zealous for the law than me. And then he becomes the apostle of grace, the apostle to the Gentiles.
And I think what is clearly seen in the early writings of the Gospels and of the letters to the church is that they who were called and sent to preach the gospel,
mm-hmm,
didn't matter to them if they were preaching to a Jewish person,
right,
or to a Gentile. Mm-hmm. They preached the gospel the same.
Mm-hmm.
They showed no distinction because they saw God showed no distinction.
Amen.
And I think today you have to be, you know, I think a lot of that perspective is lost today,
mm-hmm,
because people want to set up who they want to minister to. And I feel I'm supposed to minister to these people alone.
Right.
Or this certain group or this certain sect of people alone.
Mm-hmm.
What if God places somebody in your life,
mm-hmm,
or somebody's on the street and they need,
mm-hmm,
help?
Mm-hmm.
And you're the person there and you pass by them and go, okay, Lord, I'm praying that somebody comes by to help them. I just did. It was you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you don't have, we don't have control over those things.
Right.
And we will answer for those things that we disregard.
Yeah.
as we go through life, if we don't really pay attention to what God's asking us to do. So I think it's a very important aspect and truth that we need to look at, is that we don't have control over who we're going to minister to.
Mm-hmm.
God knows who he's going to place in our path. Mm-hmm. We don't.
That's right.
But we're simply called to preach the gospel in truth, mm-hmm. and in love,
mm-hmm.
because you see that Paul had love for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter that they were Gentiles. You know, mm-hmm. this is the amazing thing to me as I've learned and studied the Old Testament and restudied the New Testament and understand that, gosh, they wouldn't even be caught mm-hmm. in the, you know, they wouldn't even be anywhere near the Gentiles.
Would have never talked to a Gentile.
They would have been defiled.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's preaching the gospel to them.
Yeah.
So it's a total transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're, you know, praying over dead people. The person's raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And according to the law, if you touch a dead body, you're unclean for 7 days.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're raising people from the dead.
Yeah. And then they go on preaching. You know? Yeah. Okay. He's okay now. Now listen to what I'm saying. Don't worry about him. He's all right. But yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
You know, even Jesus did.
Yeah.
He took the little girl's hand.
That's right. That's right.
Touched the little dead girl.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And you know, Paul is so transformed that this is what he does as apostle to the Gentiles. And he's talking to these Galatians saying, I can't believe how fast you've turned away from that. And these other things have crept in. I was just with you. I can't believe how fast this happened.
Yeah.
And he's shocked by this. He's upset by this. And as we said last week, he's more upset about the fact that they've turned away from the true gospel than he is about immorality that's going on in Corinth,
mm-hmm.
in his letters. I mean, there was some bad stuff going on in Corinth.
Yeah.
I mean, these people were just out of control morally,
mm-hmm.
but he talks to them in a different way. I mean, he's going to call these people foolish when we get to chapter three, if we're not going to get to chapter three, but he's so upset by the fact that the gospel's been perverted, that things have been added to the gospel. And these Judaizers have come in, and they've added other things that they have to do. And he says, I can't believe how fast you've turned away.
Yeah.
And he says, I have the authority to do this, and I'm so confident that this is the true gospel that I'm going to say it again. And now you're setting up things that are counter to the sacrifice of Christ in addition to the gospel.
Yeah.
And you're saying the cross isn't sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this is at stake. Great things are at stake here.
Yeah.
Because if the gospel's changed, if the gospel's perverted, people's salvation is threatened. And this is a clear example of that. People said, yes, you can accept Jesus as your Lord, but then after you do that, here's all the other things you have to do. And here we're talking about the Judaizers telling people they have to go to the law. You know, they'll take a Gentile and say, okay, great. You want to believe in Jesus? He's the Jewish Messiah. You want him to be your Messiah too? That's great. Now here's what you have to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And so some poor, you know, dopey Galatian says, oh man, now I got to go get circumcised. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I can't eat this. I have to do that. I got to, but and after a few weeks of that, they're like, wow, man, this is not good news. The gospel is good news.
Yeah.
And they were trying to make it more and more works oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was upset, and he was marveled and surprised, and he was shocked, like the writer to the Hebrews was when he said, well, if you go away from the substance and go back to types and shadows, you're going the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you go away from such a great plan of salvation, what are you going to go to? There is no other plan of salvation. There's no plan B.
Yeah.
And we have to keep in mind that as we've done this whole series, and this is maybe the last in some sort of a series, I don't know. We just do whatever, you know. And we just show up and do show. And you know, after 8 hours of rehearsal, no, just kidding. We do about eight seconds of rehearsal.
Yeah.
And sometimes we talk on the phone and say, well, what are we doing this week? I don't know. Anyway, but keeping in mind that we live in a time where the true gospel's been, for the most part, corrupted and changed. It's been a gospel of nice behavior and tolerance for everything, and accepting everybody and accepting mm-hmm. what they are and accepting what they're doing. And that's okay because Jesus loves everybody mm-hmm. and he does love everybody. You know, God loves everybody and Jesus accepted everybody. And so therefore, just go out and be nice.
Yeah. And you'll hear, well, the church is really outdated.
Yeah,
exactly. The teachings are just so archaic.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. When are they going to get with it?
Yes.
As if God's out of date.
Yes.
God's infinite.
There was an editorial last week, about a week or so, in the Plain Dealer. I know you live in Youngstown. You probably didn't see it.
I don't even know what the Plain Dealer is.
Get out of here. Anyway, I won't mention any names, but there was an editorial in the Plain Dealer that basically said, you know, the Christian churches better get with the times. Because, you know, after all, that stuff was 2,000 years ago, and they better mm-hmm. get with it. Because when it comes to life issues and marriage issues and women's health and, you know, sort of general morality, you can't expect people in the 21st century to still believe that stuff from 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the churches better just get with it now.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, many people are, quote, getting with it, unquote.
Even
yes.
leaders in churches are getting with it.
Exactly.
And preaching a false gospel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is why we're doing this two shows from Galatians chapter 1, because the gospel's been perverted in our time, in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And over the last, I don't know how many years, 30 years, 40 years, things have gradually changed.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. And those of you that are old enough to remember what things were like, you know, in the 50s and in the early part of the 60s, and it was way different than it is now.
Yeah.
And now there's kind of sense of morality has changed, and the sense of who God is and that we're accountable to him mm-hmm. has changed, because now people are in total rebellion and don't want to be accountable for anything.
Yeah.
And that whatever you do is okay.
And we've talked about that on the show too, is there's a lot of like situational ethics,
yes,
situational moralities or situational morality people have fallen into that they ascribe to
mm-hmm.
without any foundation.
That's right.
There's no foundation in it at all.
Right.
It's not based on the resurrection or the death and resurrection of Christ where right. their salvation is rooted in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just based on falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that if someone starts believing something else other than the truth of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
their mind becomes darkened.
Right.
Romans
chapter 1.
Right. And they become even, they're not even aware of their error.
Mm-hmm.
They're right. oblivious to it.
That's right.
And they continue down this path.
Yes.
And you see it, you know, you see it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of malarkey.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Not to get back on that topic.
Yeah, but, not to get back on that topic.
But there's, you know, as followers of the Messiah, do we believe that we have been anointed with the same Holy Spirit mm-hmm. that fell upon Jesus in the Jordan?
Mm.
Do we believe that we are transformed into the likeness of Christ? Because you become like the one you worship.
Yes. Exactly.
And if you're not worshiping Christ, you're worshiping a false gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And if our minds are darkened and we can't recognize, we can't see light from darkness or truth from error, we are in effect, we have lost the salt. We have lost the taste of salt as a Christian,
yeah.
as a follower of Christ. And that's one of the things that is so important that, you know, if you're listening right now, that to be a follower of Christ doesn't mean that you just say, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You need to believe that you have the same anointing
mm-hmm.
or share in the same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead,
mm-hmm.
the power exactly. of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yeah, Paul talks about that
yeah.
too. Yeah, exactly. Yes, I get very concerned when I hear somebody who's, you know, 60, 70 years old say, oh yeah, you know, I got saved when I was 7 and I went down and said the prayer and I signed the card and say, oh, that's awesome. So then what did you do?
Nothing.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
You bore no fruit?
Yeah, you bore no fruit. It's the guy with the talent, you know? Mm-hmm. Buried the talent. Here's the talent.
You know, or the person that says, oh, gosh, I just can't wait until the Lord comes back because I can't, you know, it's you can't live your life of faith like that.
Yeah.
Because if you do,
that's right.
You are basically burying your head in the sand.
Yes.
And waiting for the Lord to come back because you think you're right and everybody else is wrong.
Yes. We have to occupy till he comes.
Yeah.
And we have to keep busy.
We got to be busy
proclaiming
about
the kingdom, about his work.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Paul was so upset about this. So, as we could say in our time, revved up about this, that he says, if I come back and preach another gospel, if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, just declare him to be accursed.
Yeah.
Because you know he's not true, just accursed. Yep. Even if I go nuts and I come back and preach a different gospel, just tell me I'm accursed. This is the gospel. We don't change the gospel. And it doesn't matter who comes. You know, he's making a big point here because these people had been listening to other teachers who came in right after Paul left and said, well, you know, that Paul, you know, he had some good ideas, but, you know, here's really what the story is. Mm-hmm. And pervert the gospel.
That's what the devil does best.
That's right.
He likes to pervert the truth of God.
That's right. And he'll put a kernel of truth in something and then wrap it up with untruth so it's easier to swallow.
He's been doing this for a long time. He's had a lot of practice at it.
That's right. And he's been dealing with humans since Eve.
Yes. That's what I was getting back to. Yeah. He's perfected this.
Oh, yeah. And he is way smarter than we are.
And
he's been around a long time.
He's been around a long time. A lot longer than we have been.
Yeah. And if we think we're going to take him on our own,
yeah,
we're a foolish. Guaranteed casualty.
Yeah.
It's because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't take him on.
No.
And, you know, and as you remember the interaction with Eve, did God really say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. Well, okay. Okay. Maybe he said that, but that's not what he meant.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what he really meant. Let me tell you why he said that.
We see some of that going on right now.
Exactly.
In our political structure.
That's right. That's right. And we have a very important election coming up in just about a couple of weeks. But the, this idea of if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer in the gospel, you have to seriously consider God's word before you vote.
Yes.
And if you say, I don't agree with this candidate on these, and these issues, but on everything else, I'm for him. The moral issues have to take precedence.
Yes.
You don't check your Christianity at the door, go in and vote, and then come back in, put your Christianity back on.
Right. That's not Christianity
at all. That's not Christianity at all, because we have to be salt and light.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very important that we can see truth from error. Light from darkness.
Right.
If we can't see that and our eyes are blinded to it,
mm-hmm.
then we have to ask ourselves, how am I living my faith?
Exactly.
Because if I can't see this,
yes,
the peril that we're in,
mm-hmm.
It's so blatantly obvious as to the danger that we're in as a country.
Mm-hmm.
It's critical.
Mm-hmm.
That if we as believers in God do not elect righteous men or women to rule over us, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
or to be elected officials,
mm-hmm.
and we elect people that don't believe in God or that don't fear God, what do we expect to get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
A good tree bears good fruit.
Right.
A bad tree bears bad fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work any other way.
Yeah.
And the church, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Evangelical, I don't care what denomination you're from, the church,
mm-hmm.
the assembly of believers, needs to wake up.
Yes, exactly.
Because we have fallen asleep.
Exactly. And this is why we're doing this whole series.
Yeah.
And this is culminating in this. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And the gospel's been perverted in our time. And there's many churches that have said, oh, yes, well, you know, yes, I can agree with that. Yes, yeah. Yeah, they're right about that.
Watered down.
Yeah, we can't, you know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. You know, when you have somebody say, well, we want everybody to be happy here.
We're going to get more than hurt feelings.
Exactly.
If we continue on the path that we're on.
Exactly. And, you know, when you remember a few weeks ago when Pastor Adil was here, he said something that really blew me away, was really made me ponder, was when he said, when he dies and he meets Jesus face to face, he wants to look in Jesus's eyes and say, I did what you wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want Jesus to look at him with, like, I'm so ashamed of you.
Yeah.
Look. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
That's how we got to live our lives.
Amen.
And it's not just the matter of our moral conduct, although that's a big part of it. We have to go out and preach the gospel to everyone, because just because you're in a church and somebody's sitting next to you in the pew doesn't mean they know the gospel.
Amen.
Whew. We're at the first break already. Well, this is a good song.
Yes.
Isaiah 40.
Yes. Oh.
Well, let's listen to the song. Remember, giftofgrace.org, and look for us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Stephen and I have been going through the first chapter of Galatians, and now maybe we should read a little more of it.
Yes.
During the break, Stephen said, we haven't read verse 10 yet. Actually, we haven't read any verses on this show. All the verses you read were last week.
I know.
Anyway, let's start with 10, 11, and 12.
Okay. So this is right after Paul tells them that if anyone preaches to you a gospel other than the one that you've received, let that one be accursed.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, starting in verse 10, am I now currying favor with human beings or God? Or am I seeking to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human being, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Whew. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, am I trying to persuade men, or am I trying to follow God, or am I trying to please men? And do I want to hang around and make sure everybody likes me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I trying to hang around and say, gee, you guys are doing good. As long as you guys are happy, you know, I'm going to kind of hang out with you for a while. And mm-hmm. as long as we're all happy, you know, this is great.
A popularity contest.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was in Galatia and we all went to Starbucks and drank coffee and ate donuts, and that was really fun. And then when we went to, you know, the restaurant and Galatia, that's a fun town. Whatever you guys are doing, it was great hanging around there. No, that's not what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's not there to please them. He says, if I was there to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the Greek word doulos is a great one. It's in the first line of Romans. You know, he says, I'm a bondservant of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's this really proud, educated, incredibly intelligent Pharisee who now says, hey, I'm just a bondservant of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care about me anymore. I'm just a bondservant. I'm not here to please men.
Yeah.
I've had this divine calling, and that's why I'm preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may have people there that think I'm crazy, and I don't care. You guys may have people there that say, oh, that Paul, you know, he gets too excited about stuff. I don't care. I'm here because I'm a bondservant of Christ.
Yeah.
And if you don't like me, well, guess what? I don't care about that. You're still going to get the gospel preached to you. You know, I'm not there to flatter the Gentiles. I'm not there to flatter these Galatians. I don't frankly care about pleasing men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here because I'm a bondservant of Christ, and he told me to come here and preach the gospel. So I'm not going to be buddy-buddy, nice guy to these Gentiles at the expense of my faithfulness to Christ.
Yeah.
Because that's not the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel's not hanging around with you guys and having fun.
Right.
And doing whatever you think you want to do and tolerating all of your behavior.
Yeah.
My job as a bondservant, as a doulos, is to preach the gospel to you. And he proves that he's truly an apostle because mm-hmm. his, you know, this gospel came to him in a very dramatic way.
Divinely.
In a very powerful, divine way.
Yeah.
And it's not something that a man originated. I mean, let's face it. If any of us were going to make a plan to save humanity, would we have made that plan? No.
No.
I would have made like a really easy plan, like say, okay, why don't we just like forget about the sins? I mean, just let's forget about it.
Yeah.
Who cares? Let's just all have fun. I mean, that'd be a great salvation plan. But I mean, that's a salvation plan.
Well, I've heard people teach, like, you know, they talk about the birth of Jesus, like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was making the plan, he'd be in a palace, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
In a stable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Born in a stable, Lord? Wow. Yeah. That's.
And instead of calling that sorry bunch of guys to be his apostles, he'd have gone to the temple and picked out the 12 smartest Pharisees and said, you guys come with me.
Yeah, and if it was of human origin, he wouldn't be going to the Gentiles.
Exactly.
Because they would still be unclean.
That's right. Yeah.
So none of this is of human origin.
That's right.
And I know we've talked about this many times on the show, like with our friend Peter. Well, your friend Peter.
He likes me.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. So he's going to want to be first in line to talk with you at the pearly gates.
You think he'll recognize me?
I'm sure he will. Probably got a couple pictures up there of you.
Oh, no.
He'll have to forgive you because it's heaven.
Yeah, everybody's going to be happy.
No, we've talked about Peter. You know, he's praying, and the Holy Spirit tells him, go at once, and there's some men here to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cornelius.
Yeah.
And he was a Roman centurion.
Mm-hmm.
This is right after the crucifixion of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Does he want to go and talk to a Roman centurion, a Roman soldier?
Right. The oppressors.
The oppressors.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we look at it, I think from that perspective of who is God having the apostles go and preach to? It's really amazing that Peter went and talked to a Roman centurion and proclaimed the message of salvation to their whole family.
That's right.
And Paul, a Pharisee, is talking to Gentiles who are unclean.
Yeah.
That's not of human beings.
That's right.
That's of God.
That's right.
And that's why the gospel, that's why I think the truth of the gospel confounds human beings, because they want to make it into their own image and their own likeness. And what I think would be realistic and rational to do.
That's right.
And, you know, Jesus told Peter, you're thinking of how a human being thinks, not as God thinks.
Exactly.
And I think that's a good indication of what we should look for. Are we really thinking or trying to understand how God thinks and really understand God and love what God loves? Or are we trying to make God into our own image? And that's a lot of what happens in false teaching.
Yeah.
We make God into our own image.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we hear that in our time. As you know, this whole series is like, what are we doing in our time? You know, the gospel's been perverted into something that it's not. And we hear people all the time say, well, the God I believe in would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the God that I serve doesn't do that kind of thing. So in other words, they've made God into their own image, because God reveals himself in his word and says, this is my nature. This is who I am. Right. This is the plan of salvation. This is how you are to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make your own plan of salvation.
Right.
You don't make your own commandments. You don't make your own sacrifices. You don't make your own plan.
Right.
And this is the proof, Paul says, that this gospel didn't originate with men. Because it's not a plan that we would make. Men don't make a plan like this.
Right.
A man wants to make an easy salvation.
Right.
Or a salvation that you can earn in some way. Just like we go to work and earn money so that we can have a house, pay the electric bill, have a car. And we feel like, well, if we work at this, I'll save myself somehow. Because after all, I'm good.
You're right. Exactly.
You know, I'm not a miserable sinner who stands condemned. I'm actually kind of a nice guy.
God, thank you that I'm not like that wretched sinner over
that's
there.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. No, that was the Pharisee.
That was the Pharisee. Temple. Yeah. So, you know, he says he didn't learn it from men. Mm-hmm. In other words, he didn't go to Bible school. He didn't go to a seminary. He didn't sit with his scrolls and think for 15 years about this. He didn't take an online course. He didn't watch anybody on TV. He got this in a totally supernatural revelation directly from Jesus.
I mean, he didn't get ordained as a pastor.
He did
like,
not.
Through the internet for like $49.95.
He did not. I'm not sure he could even do weddings, but I don't know if Pharisees could do weddings. But anyway, so he got this revelation directly. So there's no error in it, and it's not defective.
Right.
Because he had this direct authority from the Lord himself, and he says, this is the gospel. You know, if you want to use the word, you know, this is the pure gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to add things to it, take things away from it. You're not going to say this and this and this and this. This is the true gospel.
Yeah.
And he is so, I mean, you can read in these words in this chapter of Galatians that he's revved up about this.
Just a bit.
At least a bit. Yeah. And he's urgently talking to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because their salvation is at stake.
Yes.
And he doesn't mince words with this. And he over and over again, he emphasizes his authority to say these things that he says. Because people say, well, how do you know that? Who made you boss? You know, he says, listen, here's the gospel and here's where my authority came from. You know, I didn't go someplace and have somebody say, okay, Paul, you're going to be an apostle. I didn't have somebody say, okay, Paul, go read these scrolls and then, you know, you can do a radio show about the gospel. He got the gospel supernaturally revealed to him in such a powerful way that he was so transformed that when things were not the gospel, he said, this is not the gospel.
Yeah. You know, as we pointed out last week, the beginning of chapter one, Paul, an apostle, not from human beings, nor through a human being, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, and he's really speaking with that authority.
Yeah.
Just as Jesus spoke with authority.
Yeah.
And the people would always say, where did he get this from?
That's right.
Where do you get your authority from?
We know his father and mother are. How do they talk like that?
The Pharisees ask him, where do you get your, where does he get this from?
Yeah.
It's from God.
Yeah. What yeshiva did you go to?
Yeah.
You went to, where'd you go to Bible school? We're the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people said that to Paul probably, but.
Not that we have that in our day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, Paul has some earthly credentials too. Actually, why don't you read 13 and 14?
Sure.
It kind of sets up where he's coming from.
Okay. For you heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and progressed in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my race, since I was even more a zealot for my ancestral traditions. But then God, whom from my mother's womb had set me apart and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I may proclaim him to the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Rather, I went to Arabia and then returned to Damascus. Let me read further.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to confer with Cephas and remained with him for 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles, only James, the brother of the Lord. As to what I am writing to you, behold, before God, I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown personally to the churches of Judah that are in Christ. They only kept hearing that the one who once was persecuting us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. So they glorified God because of me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. You remember when after Paul was struck on the road and he was blind and the Lord called Ananias to go pray with him. And Ananias said, are you sure we're talking about the same guy?
Yeah.
That guy's like bad news.
Mistaken identity here, Lord.
And then when he did go to Jerusalem, it says, you know, a lot of the disciples were afraid to go see him.
Yeah.
They said, wait a minute. I know who this guy is. This is the guy who was, I'm not going to go talk to him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they didn't realize what a radical transformation he had had.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you know, he tells a little bit about his background here.
You know,
he was more zealous than anyone. He was advancing more than anyone in the traditions of the fathers.
Right.
The law, the traditions, the things that were the heart of Judaism. He was boasting that he wanted to do it better than all the other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have people like that in whatever denomination you want to mention.
It's a competition.
Yes. So, I have learned everything about my particular denomination, and nobody can tell me anything because I know all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he boasted that he wanted to do it more than all his contemporaries. In other words, when he was a young man, he wanted to do it better than all the other young men.
Right.
When he's an old guy, he would have wanted to do it better than all the other old guys, except by that time he was converted.
Yeah.
But he understood these Judaizers very well. And, you know, the people who listened to Paul preach knew he hadn't gotten the gospel from Judaism. I should say, you know, directly from studying Judaism.
Right.
He hadn't gotten it from listening to Judaizers.
Right.
Because he preached a very powerful way and says, listen, I was this. I rejected Christ. I persecuted the church. I tried to destroy the church. And, you know, all through the book of Acts, in Acts 26, he tells Agrippa that he imprisoned the saints. He calls them the saints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imprisoned the saints. I had authority from the high priest to round these guys up, put them in prison. Now I'm preaching the gospel that they were preaching.
The first martyr, Stephen, he stood there and held the cloaks of the people that stoned him.
Exactly. And said, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And he had had such a radical transformation. He had been changed by grace in such a powerful way that he tells these other people that I had rejected the Messiah. I had rejected his teaching. And I was persecuting him. Yeah. I not only didn't agree with him, I wanted to wipe it out.
Destroy it, yeah.
And now I'm preaching the same gospel that these guys I arrested were preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We need more people like him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hear music. I can't believe it's a break already.
Wow.
Oh, this is good. Paul's back. Anyway, Paul Wilbur's back. He used to travel with St. Paul and do the music. He was Paul's music minister. Anyway, remember, giftofgraceministries.org, and you can find us on Facebook. We'll be right back in a minute or two.
Oh.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're in the last section of this.
Again.
All again. So in that passage you just read, this is really cool. You know, it says, God separated Paul from his mother's womb and made him through and called him through grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, you know, he was called, again, this is his authority as an apostle. He was called from the womb. So he was, of course, known to God before he was born that he was going to come and be this apostle. He's destined to be called. And it says he's called by grace. And he emphasizes that it's grace.
Yeah.
And that he's called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And we already talked about how amazing this would be for a Pharisee.
Yeah.
I mean, other Pharisees would have said, dude, why are you talking to Gentiles?
Yeah.
But of course, by this time, they didn't like him anyway. But, you know, this was not by flesh and blood. You know, it says that his son was revealed in me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, hey, did you ever hear about this guy, Jesus? Let me tell you, he had this radical transformation. The son was revealed in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very profound thing that happened to him, and he had knowledge of Jesus by a direct revelation. He got the gospel by a direct revelation. And he went to preach it.
By the author himself.
Yes. And he went to preach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't go home and say, wow, that was amazing. Now I guess I'll go back to the temple and see what's cooking over there. Yeah. He went right to preach because he knew this is what he had to do. It says he was called by a divine grace, a divine mission that he was going to preach this gospel to the Gentiles. And it says he didn't have to confer with flesh and blood. You know, he didn't have to go around to people and say, well, what do you think I should do? You know, I had this like amazing revelation and I don't know what I should do.
Yeah.
He didn't confer with flesh and blood.
Yeah.
He knew what he had to do and he went and started doing it. It says he didn't even go to Jerusalem to confer with the apostles. Mm-hmm. You know, the apostles were a pretty important group of guys.
Yeah.
You know, and they were, you know, kind of evangelizing all around the area, and the church in Jerusalem, you know, was pretty powerful guys there.
Yeah.
And Paul didn't say, listen, I better get right over there and run this by all those guys.
Yeah.
Because he knew this is what he had to do.
See if I can do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he started to, you know, preach. He went to Arabia. He went back to Damascus. And, you know, we don't know all the details of what he did, but he didn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he didn't really need somebody to come and say, okay, here's what I think you should do, Paul.
Right.
At this point, you know, still Saul, yeah. You know, here's what you should do, Saul. You know, maybe, you know, you really haven't talked it over with enough people. And let me tell you, you know, when I was your age, here's what I,
yeah,
he knew he had the authority to do it.
Exactly.
And he didn't need somebody to give him permission to start preaching.
No, he wasn't.
He never even had anybody come and lay hands on him and say, okay, now you're an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
He just went and he did it because he wasn't called by flesh and blood.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to kind of allude to that when Jesus and the disciples were ministering and they saw someone else casting out casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and they weren't with the disciples, you know, they asked the Lord, do you want us to stop him?
Yes.
You want us to stop them people?
Yeah.
Because they're not with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is like, no.
Yeah.
They're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
And you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not against us, they're for us.
Yes, that's right. Even back in the book of Numbers, you know, the story of Eldad and Medad, you know, they were late for church, so they weren't where they were supposed to be when the Holy Spirit fell on everybody.
Yeah, they were outside the camp.
Yes, yeah. And Joshua said, Moses, there's those guys over there. And Moses said, oh, I wish everybody was filled with the Spirit and prophesying.
How'd they get it? How did it fall over there?
That's right. They didn't even belong to our church. You know? They did. They just were late.
Yeah, they were out in the...
But, you know, he emphasizes that this is the authority that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have to confer with anybody because it was divinely given to him.
Right.
Now, he's a unique situation. You know, you have to be careful when you start to think, well, I have this divine authority to go do these things.
Right. Right.
But in Paul's case, it really was divine authority that he had to do these things.
Yes. Yeah, you bring up a good point. It you know, there, not everybody is called to be a teacher.
Right. Or an apostle.
Not everyone's called to lead worship or play minor chords like yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And it's like one step, two steps, I don't know.
But anyway, it's recognizing what God has done in your life, or recognizing what God is doing in your life, and acting upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're here, and you've said many times on this show, and that we're here for such a time as this.
Yes.
We are here because this is where God's placed us at.
Yes.
Because he's created us to be in this time.
Exactly.
And we are to bear fruit, basically, yes, where we're planted at.
That's right.
We don't have to go off to, unless we're called to go off to some far distant land.
Mm-hmm.
But as anybody can plainly see, the mission field is right in our backyard.
That's right.
The mission field is right here in our country now.
That's right. And we've said many times before, all the great churches of Europe and all the great churches of America that have sent missionaries all over the world, mm-hmm, now they have to send them to the corner,
yeah,
to preach, because the mission field's now here.
Yeah.
And, you know, very soon we already have missionaries from Africa coming, yeah, here, and pretty soon we'll have missionaries from China coming here and wherever else the gospel is spreading, because we've gotten comfortable and now we have a different gospel.
You can walk out the front door of your house,
yeah,
and start preaching the gospel.
Exactly.
That's really where we're at, right, in this country.
And as Pastor Adil pointed out a couple of weeks ago, you know, you don't have to pack up and go on a mission trip to New Guinea to preach the gospel. Mm-mm. You can preach it to somebody who lives next door.
Yeah.
You can preach it to somebody who lives in your house. Mm-hmm. You can preach it to somebody who's at work getting coffee with you.
Yeah. Or
somebody who's sitting in the desk next to you.
It's not a private matter.
That's right.
You know, we were talking last week that Paul wasn't afraid to preach the gospel.
Yes. Wasn't ashamed.
And there's some in our culture who, even though they say they have faith,
mm-hmm,
they don't live out their faith.
That's right.
They don't want to impose it on, right, other people.
That's right.
Well, faith is not to be imposed upon other people. It's to be proclaimed to other,
amen,
people. Because that's the, and, grace of God.
And here we are in this, bringing in this end time harvest, and we have to get back to the real gospel, and this is what we have to proclaim.
And
to
the
people.
Real mission.
And the real mission, and not a watered down gospel.
Amen.
Wow, this was awesome. I wish we had about 10 more minutes. Anyway, well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and we'll be back next week.
Have an awesome week, everyone, and we'll be back here again on The Gift of Grace. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.